Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Furniture at significant discounts. Save up to 50% on many outdoor furniture collections. Plus, to help keep you and your guests cool and comfortable, Offenbacher's is now offering a 40% discount on all in-stock patio umbrellas and cantilever umbrellas by Treasure Garden. I've got one. They are spectacular. Offenbacher's selection of outdoor furniture is amazing, and your guests will be as comfortable as can be. But that's not all Offenbacher's offers. You have to check out their selection of hot tubs, swim spas, as well as their huge selection of man cave stuff, including pool tables, air hockey, darts, and more. DMV's got four great locations, Herndon, Rockville, my home store in the Annapolis Mall, their sister store, Great Gatherings, in Gainesville. Go to Offenbachers.com, and when you do, please tell them Pete on Sports from the Team 980 sent you.
It's easy to think all money managers are pretty much the same, but at Fisher Investments, we're clearly different.
Different how? You sell high commission investment products, right?
No, Fisher Investments doesn't sell any commission-based investment products.
Well, you must earn commissions on trades.
Nope, never at Fisher. We're a fiduciary, obligated to act in our client's best interest. It's the highest standard of care for a financial advisor.
How do you know what's in their best interest?
We get to know our clients and then tailor a portfolio based on their goals and needs.
But you probably sneak in some hidden and layered fees.
No, we have one transparent management fee structured so we do better when our clients do better.
Wow, you really do look out for your clients.
That's because our top priority is helping them achieve a comfortable retirement. It might be why most of our clients come from other money managers. Visit FisherInvestments.com to find out why investors like you switch to us. Fisher Investments, clearly different money management.
Investments and securities involve the risk of loss.
Have you seen my keys? Here at Orsman Chevrolet of Bowie, that's all you gotta say to unlock an additional $1,500 for your trade. This is General Sales Manager Shanice Kraft, and we need your car. Yes. So whether you buy from us or not, just come by and ask Shanice, have you seen my keys? And I'll give you an extra $1,500 for your old ride on top of 135% of the KBB value. Orsman Chevrolet of Bowie, find new roads.
And remember, you always get your way at Orsman Chevrolet of Bowie.
It might be hard to imagine, but there's a place where you can find a restaurant on every corner. A place where you can eat like a king for as little as a dollar. It might be hard to imagine, but this is the same place where the school lunches aren't just delicious. They're themed, with palate pleasers like mozzarella stick Mondays, taco Tuesdays, and French Fridays. Heck, even pizza counts as a vegetable here. This is a place where the fast food just keeps getting faster. You can even order delivery right from your video game console. And how's the food, you ask? Well, it is to die for. Don't believe us? Just ask the friends and family of the 300,000 who did last year. Welcome to the state of America. Welcome to Obesity USA. Population 115 million and getting bigger by the day. To learn more, go to visitobesity.org. That's visitobecity.org. Brought to you by the Pennington Biomedical Research Foundation.
Progressive presents, Don't Do It Yourself.
Okay, simple enough. Just got to get in there with my screwdriver. Do you mind handing me my screwdriver?
Are you trying to say screwdriver?
Well, I mean, you're saying it weird, but yeah, sure.
Look, maybe we should bundle our home and auto with Progressive. We could save big and pay someone to install this for us so you don't have to pretend you can.
I know my way around a screwdriver. Oh, yeah. This is going to take a Philippe's head for sure.
Save when bundling home and auto with Progressive and use the money to, you know, not do it yourself. Coverage from Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and third-party insurers. Bundle discount not available in all states or situations.
Live from the Window Nation Studios, WTEM Washington and WJFK HD2 Manassas. Your flagship station for the Washington Wizards.
Left wing Kuzma, catch and shoot for three. It's there! It is there!
The Team 980, always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
So I had mentioned earlier that I guessed that the aggregate over-under win total prop bet number for the AFC West may be the highest that we've seen in a long, long time. And just as a comparison, if you go through the over-under prop bet, and for those of you that aren't following, it's a number that every single sports book puts out as a preseason prop bet where you can bet over or under a certain number assigned to a team in terms of wins. So Washington's over-under win total projection for 2022 right now in most spots is 7.5. There's some eights out there, but 7.5 is the average. So if you bet over and they win 8 or more games, you win your bet. If they win 7 or less games, you lose your bet if you bet over. If you bet under, then they have to win 7 or less for you to win the bet. That is a preseason over-under win total bet that almost every single sports book has. And you can find any of them by just Googling NFL season over-under total prop bets. And so I went and looked at various to kind of get an average, various sports books like BetMGM, our partner here, and a couple of others just to get an average of what the aggregate number of total wins on the over-under bet were for per division. As an example, the NFC East, Dallas is 10.5, Philadelphia is 9.5, Washington is 7.5, and the Giants are also now 7.5. If you add that up, that comes up to 35 in terms of the aggregate total on the over-under projections for the NFC East. By the way, that's tied for the second most of all of the divisions in the NFL. The NFC North also is at, the AFC North is also at 35. The NFC East and the AFC North both have aggregate over-under win totals at 35, and they're tied for second. It's probably the best the NFC East has seen in years. But the AFC West, the aggregate number on the projected over-under wins, on the wins total, 40. KC's at 10.5. The Chargers are at 10.5. Denver's at 10.5. And the Raiders are at 8.5. So 5 games clear, all right, of any other division in the NFL. So top to bottom going in, the projections are for the AFC West to be the most dominant top to bottom division in football this year. Now, you've got to go back 1 year to find another division that produced 40 in the total of wins. But before that, several years, and I didn't go back far enough to find another 40, but I only had to go back to last year because the NFC West last year with the 49ers, the Cardinals, the Seahawks, and the Rams also had an aggregate win total on the over-under prop bet of 40 as well. But prior to last year, there's nothing close in a division resembling what the expectations were of the NFC West last year. By the way, the NFC Championship game, the Rams and the 49ers, and the AFC West this year. And yeah, the NFC West last year had 3 playoff teams. They had the Rams, 49ers, and Cardinals. You could certainly expect the AFC West to produce definitely 1 wild card team this year, and maybe 2, at least now. Things change. That's the great part about the NFL is that the league changes so dramatically. And the thing that none of us can predict, which often tells the tale on an NFL story, is which teams remain healthy and which teams don't. I got this email. Actually, it was through my podcast website from Kevin yesterday. And it was after the show. And I wanted to read it because, before I get to that, I'm off track here. I wanted to play a couple of quick Ron Rivera bites. That's what I meant to do here. And I'll get to this email that was sent to me yesterday shortly because I want it to lead into a segment where you guys weigh in as well. But in follow-up to the Sam Mills firing from Monday, or from Tuesday now, right? It's Thursday, so that happened on Tuesday. Ron Rivera, for a second straight day, after, you know, stunning everybody, really surprising, shocking people with the announcement that Sam Mills had been fired. And it had, you know, it shocking because of the timing. You just don't see that very often. It's very rare that you see an assistant coach or any coach fired once training camp begins. These coaching changes, these staff changes happen right after the season ends, you know, over that next day, you know, several day or few week period. That's when coaches get fired and new coaches get hired to replace them, because you want a chance at the best available out there. So you clear the deck and you give that coach a chance to catch on with somebody else. It didn't happen, even though the expectation, as we've been talking about here for 2 years, was that there was a problem with Sam Mills and the players in that defensive line room that he was coaching. Matt Ioannidis, I discussed this 2 years ago, wanted out. They didn't like the techniques. They didn't think he was qualified to coach. I'm not sure that there was a personal animus towards Sam Mills, but there was a professional concern and professional skepticism. And, you know, some of the older guys were like, wait a minute, at Ioannidis, Kerrigan, we've been doing it this way. To which Ron Rivera, by the way, backed his coach at the time and said, you guys were 3-13 in 2019. You'll do it our way. Let's try our way, since your way didn't work out very well. And in 2020, they had some success at the end of the year, albeit, as we've documented many times, against poor offensive teams starting backup and third string quarterbacks, or at least going to the backups in second halves of games, like when Ryan Finley came in for Joe Burrow after Joe Burrow got knocked out and got seriously injured in the game at FedEx Field. So yesterday, Ron Rivera was asked more about the Sam Mills firing, and I think he may have revealed the reason. Now, I had a theory yesterday that I presented as to why it happened when it happened, and I'll repeat that theory here shortly. But he was asked just about the energy that the new defensive line coach, Jeff Skinnina, and that is how it's pronounced, I've been told, by people out in Ashburn. Coach Z is how he's known by his players. It's spelled Z-G-O-N-I-N-A, but I've been told to pronounce it Jeff Skinnina. He was asked, Ron Rivera was, about just the energy that Coach Z brings to the defensive line unit. Here's what he said.
Well, I think what I'm looking for is that constant push, pressure, and growth. I want to be more demonstrative. I want to be more in their face at them, stuff like that. And that's pretty much what we've accomplished.
What we've accomplished, he said at the end there. I'm looking for constant push, pressure, and growth. I want to be more demonstrative. I want it to be more in their face and stuff like that. And that's pretty much what we've accomplished. I think when he said what we've accomplished, I think he was saying by this move, we now have a guy that has a lot more energy than the last guy. He then added to that when he was asked in follow-up what he is looking for from that coach and that defensive line unit.
Different style, different vibe, you know, a little difference in my philosophy on how I think it needs to be coached.
So there, what he's speaking to really is philosophically, there was a difference. There was a difference philosophically. The issue, of course, is he's known for a long time because he's had Sam Mills on his staff for several years. How Sam Mills coaches and what his philosophy has been. So he can speak to the philosophical differences, and I understand that. And by the way, I also understand that this was not easy for Ron Rivera, because Sam Mills and his father, big part of Ron Rivera's, you know, family, Carolina family. But the philosophy thing, it's not a big reveal here over the last few days. You know, this is something that he's known. you know, he's not apparently an in-your-face guy, that the vibe that he coaches with, the style, has been different than his philosophical approach to coaching, and that maybe Jeff Skinnina's is more in line with Ron Rivera's. That doesn't explain why it happened when it happened. Philosophically, they've known, he's known for a while, that it may not be his style. You know, I'm a big believer, don't judge on style, judge on substance. You know, judge on results. You know, style is overrated. But he didn't get the results last year. But he knew that in January, but didn't make a change. And by the way, keep in mind, it's not like others in the organization, including players, weren't suggesting it. It's not like he didn't hear that there were issues between Mills and the players and the way he was coaching them. So my theory, which I, you know, discussed yesterday, is Sam Mills was excused to attend the enshrinement of his father, his late father, into the Hall of Fame in Canton over the weekend. And I think the style and the vibe and the constant push, pressure, and growth and the more demonstrative approach and the more in-their-face approach was seen more clearly in Mills' absence. Now, I was told the other day, and I shared this with you the other day, that Skinnina does a lot in practice anyway, but to see it without Mills present is, I think, perhaps what Ron finally looked at and said, yeah, I should have done this. I should have done this earlier. I should have done it at the end of the season, and it would have been more fair to do it at the end of the season to Sam. But what I've seen now is what I've wanted to see. And I can't, you know, I can't continue to fish with this. We got to cut bait. We still have 2.5 weeks. Things aren't going to change in the way they're getting coached. It's not like we're going to implement a new scheme, but we're going to get a new lead voice here, and it's more in line with the voice that I would be using. And I think that absence of a couple of days over the weekend may have just clarified it for him. You know, I don't know that to be true. It could have been some sort of an event. It could have been some sort of difference of an opinion on a specific player or a specific something that they, confronted one another about. And Ron said, you know, enough is enough. I don't know. But to do it then, after training camp started, it wasn't about philosophy. He may have had all along a different philosophy, but he's known that for a while. That's not a big reveal that Sam's philosophy is different from Ron's. He's been coaching with him for years. I still rate this as a net neutral to net positive. I'm not overly worked up over a defensive line coach being terminated early in training camp, even though it is a very unusual thing, yes. I think if there's any legitimate concern, it would be, why didn't the coach-centric head coach realize this much sooner and do something about it much sooner? Well, one of the reasons, he's a very loyal guy. I think that that has been made very clear, not only by him, but by his former players. I think it's one of the reasons he commands and garners a ton of respect. He's very loyal. All right, up next, I want to read this email that I was about to start reading, and it deals with players that have to play well for Washington this year if they're going to have a legitimate good season. Not a 500-ish kind of season, not a back, you know, door to the postseason contention. No, a real good season of 10-plus wins. I'm going to give you a list of three players that are must-haves in 2022 if they're going to win 10 or more games when we come back. Kevin Sheehan, show on the Team 980 and theteam980.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
So I got this email from Kevin yesterday through my podcast website, and he wrote, Sheehan, Wentz, Rivera, that's the list. Wentz has to be good. Rivera has to be right about Wentz. If both become true, Washington will win 10-plus games this year and have a chance to do the same over the next few years. Period. There was more in the email, but that was the gist of it. And so it actually made me think about something, which I'm going to get to here in a moment. But real quickly, yeah, obviously, Carson Wentz has to have a good year. You know, Washington, as we know, you know, they haven't won more than 10 games since 1991. And they've only won 10 games a few times since winning their last Super Bowl. And that would be three times. Okay, they won 10 in 1999, they won 10 in 2012, and they won 10 in 2005, right? I think those are the 3 years. Did I get that right? 99, 5, and 12. I think that's right.
Yeah, that's right.
So, Washington doesn't have a chance to have... And so, 10-plus wins, okay, is a good season. It's a good NFL season. You know, 9 times out of 10, you end up in the postseason. Washington did have multiple 10-6 seasons back in the 80s where they didn't make the postseason. But 9 times out of 10, you win 10, even in a 17-game schedule, you will be in the postseason, and you will have had a good season. You know, when it was 4 games above 500, better than 3 games above 500, but 10-plus wins constitutes a good season. Washington's had very few of those. For them to have that kind of a season, Carson Wentz has to be really good. I think we understand that. By the way, the Ron Rivera comment, we talked about this being a referendum year on Ron Rivera. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means that there is pressure on Ron Rivera to have a good season in 2022 because he has put some of that pressure on himself. Third year of a 5-year deal. This is the year it started to turn around in Carolina. It was the first year of a 5-year run where they went to the playoffs 4 times. They won a bunch of games. They went to a Super Bowl during that 5-year run. And they were a year-in, year-out contender in the NFC. You know, maybe not every year a Super Bowl contender, but a playoff. A team that was thought to be a playoff-caliber team going into 5 straight seasons. And he has kind of set it up that this should be the first of a run, you know, here in Washington, where they are winning, you know, enough games and contending, you know, for the postseason each year. So from that standpoint, there's some pressure on Ron Rivera. As far as the referendum, you know, if he doesn't get it done, I don't know that it leads to him being fired. In fact, I would bet against it. I think the only reason that Ron Rivera wouldn't be the coach after 2022 would be his choice, retirement. But the referendum on Ron Rivera is keeping those of us that still believe that he can coach, keeping that faith, keeping that belief. Because if he fails this year, he has failed now five out of the last 6 years as a head coach to have a winning season. I'm very familiar with four out of the last five seasons have been losing seasons as a head coach for Ron Rivera. I'm very familiar with the record here in 2 years, 14-19, not very good. And the 7-9 in the playoff year, obviously flukish. You know, that kind of a season doesn't happen. Dak Prescott doesn't get injured. Washington doesn't go 7-9 and end up in the postseason. And we're looking at probably a team that's been 12-21 over his first two seasons, or 13-20, something like that, without a playoff appearance. So for him to continue to garner some level of belief and faith, they've got to have a good season. Now, with respect to this email and what it prompted in my mind, I started to think about the 10-plus wins. Clearly, Carson Wentz has to play well, or they're not going to win 10 or more games. If he doesn't play well, they're not, you know, could they be a competitive team with a great defense and a running game? You know, like they were last year. They were competitive until the end. You know, they got themselves back to 6-6. I know they were very close to starting 0-8. But like Rivera does with most of his teams, they started to figure things out. They figured out a way to be competitive. They won four games in a row. And then you had the COVID outbreak and the injuries, et cetera. I don't think they were going to end up in the playoffs. But maybe they would have ended up 8-9 instead of 7-10. They were a competitive team. They weren't an easy out after a certain point last year. And even, you know, early in the season, with the exception of a few games, you know, they had chances. They had chances against the Chargers. They had chances, you know, against Denver. The thing that I wanted to get to, and it made me think of, is other than Wentz, who's got to play well for them to have a legitimate chance to win 10 or more games? And I thought of the players with the highest potential and them having to play near or at the top of their potential. Because Washington, you know, now has on their roster more players than they used to have that have a lot of potential. You know, they have players like Chase Young who could be A-plus players if they play up to what their potential is. I've always felt that way about Daron Payne, but we've had enough experience with Daron Payne to kind of understand what he is. He's been inconsistent. Maybe this is the year, in a contract year, he turns it around. Chase Young's with Daron Payne to kind of understand what he is. He's been inconsistent. Maybe this is the year, in a contract year, he turns it around. Chase Young's not going to be available, more likely than not, for the early portion of the schedule. Who are the other players that really are A or A-plus potential players? The quarterback's the most important player on the team. Carson Wentz has to play well for Washington to win double-digit games this year. Let's take him as an obvious no debate. If you debate that Carson Wentz doesn't have to have a good season for them to win 10 or more, then your belief in Taylor Heinicke or Sam Howell is naive and delusional. We know what Taylor Heinicke is. We don't know what Sam Howell is. I guess there is a scenario in which Wentz goes down or is terrible in the first three games and Howell has just been killing it and they put Howell in there and he turns out to be, you know, much better than anything they've had. I guess that possibility exists. It's remote, though, in year one. Wentz is number one on the list of key players that have to play well for Washington to win 10 or more games. I came up with my top three. Wentz is number one. Number two on my list, it might surprise you, I don't know, but I think Antonio Gibson is an A or higher, maybe an A-plus potential player in the NFL. I'm a big fan of Antonio Gibson's upside. Sub 4'4", 6'2", 230, physical, breakaway speed, and I think vision and open field wiggle that has improved as he's become more familiar with a position that he really didn't play in college. I asked Scott Turner, if you recall last week when I had Scott Turner on the show, about Antonio Gibson and what he can be. And he said unlimited potential. I was glad to hear him say that. And I was glad to hear him say something specific. And that was the vision improved. You know, the PFF numbers said that he left too many yards on the field. I didn't see that as much last year. And especially as the year went on, and especially during that four-game win streak. Antonio Gibson has star potential. He's one of the few players on the team that has that. If Antonio Gibson continues to put the ball on the ground, well, you can't play him, and we're going to see a lot of Brian Robinson. But if he eliminates that problem, 6'2", 230, and sub-4.4. Versatility everywhere. Can catch it, and I think we should see more of that this year. But to me, after Wentz, if Gibson reaches his potential in year three, you've got a superstar on your roster. I don't think it's an exaggeration to call Antonio Gibson's top-end potential superstar in the league. Is he Derrick Henry? Is he Christian McCaffrey healthy? Is he Dalvin Cook? I don't know. But he's something approximating those guys. He's getting into that territory. His talent will give him a chance, if he can get the most out of it, to be at the level in which the rest of the league recognizes Antonio Gibson as a star running back. I believe that. Many of you may not. So he's number two on my list. And then number three, because Chase Young, we can't count on at this point. Chase Young would have been number two on my list, or certainly number three. But given that there's a strong possibility that he starts the season on the PUP list, number three on my list would be, after Chase Young and Antonio Gibson, the next in line in terms of potential major star in the league. And if you get the best out of him, you've got a chance to win 10-plus games. And that's Montez Sweat. Montez Sweat has superstar potential. We saw it in flashes last year. We saw it much more against lesser teams in 2020. Montez Sweat was one of my favorite players coming out of that 2019 draft. I wanted him drafted where they were where they drafted Dwayne Haskins. The team wanted to draft him there. There were concerns about Sweat, which is one of the reasons he dropped. Washington traded back into the first round and drafted him towards the end of the first round. The concerns were medical related. If you watch Sweat at Mississippi State, he was an absolute relentless sideline to sideline guy. Long, fast, explosive, quick twitch, and we've seen some of that. As he enters now, believe it or not, his fourth season, it's amazing. And without Chase Young, Sweat has the ability to influence the outcome of games. Their pass defense was terrible last year. Their pass rush wasn't good enough. Their front four didn't make enough plays. Sweat is the guy on their front four that we know is going to be, hopefully, knock on wood, no injuries, ready from the jump. If he plays at the level that he's capable of playing, along with Wentz and Gibson, Washington's got a really good chance to win 10-plus games this year. That's my list. That's my short list of players that I think have to play at their top end, that have to have big years for Washington to win 10 or more games. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Our phone lines are open. After Carson Wentz, which we should all agree on, is the most important player if they're going to have a really good season for the first time in a long time. Give me the next player that comes to your mind that has to have an excellent top-end season for them if the team's going to win 10-plus this year. if they're going to win double-digit games. 301-230-0980. We'll take your calls on that when we come back. I do want to tell you right now about the deal that Window Nation has going on. They've got their back-to-school sale going on, and it's a big one. Buy two windows, get two free with no limit at all. Pay nothing as a down payment and pay no interest for two full years. We've talked about Window Nation and what they have offered for a long time. If you've been thinking about new windows, I want you to call them at 866 Window Nation and go to windownation.com. Tell them that Kevin Sheehan told you to call. You'll get a free estimate from Window Nation, and with that free estimate, you can do with it what you want. I would certainly suggest you shop it if you have to shop it. You know, have at it. Go ahead and shop that offer. They're not going to force you into making a decision right away. But Window Nation right now with their back-to-school sale, buy two, get two free, no interest for two full years. You'll be utilizing the best in the business in Window Nation. As always, call them at 866-90-NATION or go to windownation.com and mention my name. Buy two, get two free, back-to-school sale. Stay cool, lower those energy bills, raise the value of your home with new Energy Star efficient windows from Window Nation.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Our phone lines are open, 301-230-0980. By the way, Scott Abraham from Channel 7 coming up in the next hour at 8 o'clock. After Carson Wentz, give me the next player that comes to your mind that has to have an excellent top-end season if Washington's to win 10 or more games. Carson Wentz is number one, guys. Okay, there's really not a scenario in which Wentz gets injured like Fitzpatrick did in game one, and Taylor Heineke, even with a better supporting cast and an easier schedule, leads them to a 10-7 or an 11-6 season. Okay? It's just that's not really a strong possibility. I think most of us, I know not all of us, Sabah, but I think most of us have come to the conclusion of what Taylor Heineke is. And by the way, it's cool. He's a really good NFL backup quarterback. And in a pinch, he can come in the middle of a game or start a game because he's fearless, he's competitive, and he can make plays. But over the course of a 17-game schedule, you're not winning 10 or more if Taylor Heineke is your starting quarterback all season long. You know, I used to say that about Colt McCoy. I say Colt McCoy is a 6-10 starting quarterback. No offense, really nice backup. But if he's your starting quarterback for 16 games, it's not going to turn out to be a really good season. Carson Wentz gives you a chance. He's the most important player, and he's got to play at a top-end Carson Wentz ability for Washington to win 10 or more. Give me the next player that comes to your mind that has to have a big-time season. I gave you two that came to mind. I didn't give you Chase Young because I don't know that we can count on Chase Young in 2022. We're certainly not going to be able to count on him early in the season, it would appear. To me, Antonio Gibson and Montez Sweat, and I know some of you are going to say, well, why didn't you mention Terry McLaurin? Well, there's a lot of receivers. And by the way, I don't think McLaurin's top end, I think it's really high, and I think he can be an elite receiver in the league. I think Sweat can be one of the real game-wrecking defensive ends in the game. And I think Gibson's top end is really, as Scott Turner said, unlimited. I think it's superstar potential. Am I predicting that he'll reach that? I don't know. I hope he does. He certainly has the ability. But he's not going to get there if he continues to put the ball on the ground because he won't get that opportunity. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Michael, first player that comes to mind after Carson Wentz that has to have a big year if this team's going to have a really good season of 10 or more wins.
Good morning, Kevin. Good to talk with you again.
You too, Michael.
I'm going to start with a group. Because I think the two that you mentioned first are so dependent on the offensive line killing it. If they don't play super well as a unit, Carson Wentz is never going to get out of game, and Antonio Gibson is going to struggle. Beyond that, I think then Logan Thomas has to have one of those years because we know how dependent Carson Wentz is on his tight end. We just know that. And then last, on the defensive side, is Jamin Davis. Jamin Davis brings it this year. It's going to make such a huge difference in that defense. So I'm going with three different selections than you chose.
I think the only thing that I would say about the offensive line is understanding and, you know, the given in this question is that Carson Wentz is number one on the list. He's got to have a great year. Well, that kind of presumes that the offensive line is solid enough because he's not going to have an excellent year, as you said, and I agree with you, if the offensive line is in shambles. By the way, I have confidence that the offensive line will be more than competent. I think it's a very well coached unit, and I think in Cosme and Leno, and we'll see about the interior. I think they've got two decent tackles that'll get coached up. But thanks for the call, Michael. Appreciate it. Give me the first player after Carson Wentz that pops into your mind where you say they've got to have a really good year, an excellent year, if this team's going to threaten 10 plus wins. Lat from DC, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, Kevin? Hey, I'm going to say Curtis Samuel, man. I really want to see him do well, man, and I think he can take the top off some defenses and take the pressure off our receiving core, gives us another threat out there. And then I'm going to say William Jackson. I really want him to bounce back. I was really disappointed in him last year. And there was some good picks, man, with Logan from the last caller. And I like the Gibson one that you picked too, Kevin, man. That was spot on. Because I really like Gibson too. And I want to see him used more in the passing game too as well. But he can really be a dual threat and dangerous weapon out there for the offense. But we'll see, man. And Carson Wentz, no doubt, is number one. So if he plays well, I think we got a good chance. But I think this team going to surprise you, man. I really do. I think they're going to surprise you. And this is the year, man. This is the year to do it, year three. So we'll see.
Thanks for the call. I think the Curtis Samuel thing, if we're relying on Curtis Samuel to have a big year to win 10 or more games, I think that would be concerning. The reason I didn't go Terry McLaurin or Curtis Samuel or Jahan Dotson, I think as a group, you know, if one of them doesn't have a great year, there's enough there to compensate for the loss of somebody having a down year or potentially being injured. By the way, the other thing I wanted to mention about Gibson. So Gibson last year, I think, finished in the top 20 in all-purpose yardage. I want to say that he was 19th or 20th last year with 1,331 all-purpose yards. I think he can make a big jump in that, and I expect them to. Look, if he's putting the ball on the ground, he's not going to get the opportunities. If he can prove that he can protect the ball, I think with all of the weapons that are out there and the desire that Scott Turner has to be a balanced team and be a physical team as they were during that four-game win streak, I think Gibson could approach 1,800-plus all-purpose yards this year, which would put him in kind of the top three to top five category from last year. Let me backtrack. I'll go 1,600, you know, combined all-purpose yards. That would make him top five from last year. I think he has that kind of potential. I do. Let's go to Terrence. Terrence, go ahead. Give me the first player after Wentz that pops into your mind that has to have a big year if they're going to threaten double-digit wins.
Hey, good morning, Kevin. You named, of course, my go-tos and Gibson and Sweat, and the other callers named some good guys as well. First player that comes to mind for me was going to be Samuels because, of course, if you listen to Ron Rivera and listen to Coach Turner talk, you know, there was so much that they couldn't do last year because he wasn't there. So he's got to be, you know, the MVP of the offense if you listen to what they're saying. And then secondly, Kendall Fuller, man. Kendall Fuller had four interceptions in 2020. In fact, the whole defense turned the ball over really well in 2020, and that was a big help to us having the season that we had. Kendall Fuller is a guy that's perceived in this league as a really good, you know, cornerback. They say he's having an amazing camp. He needs to be a kind of a shutdown guy for us to take that next step, and I think he can do it. And so those will be my guys, Samuels and Kendall Fuller. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks. Washington was not a good team last year in takeaways. I think they were in the bottom third of the league, somewhere in there. I think I looked this up a few weeks ago. I mean, they were less than 20 takeaways on the year. Dallas was the team last year. And by the way, Indy too. Keep in mind, Indy last year, I think, was right behind Dallas in total defensive takeaways on the season. And they had, I think, the highest turnover margin last year and didn't make the postseason. Let me repeat that because I think it's worth, you know, emphasizing here. Very rarely does the team that leads the league in turnover margin miss the postseason. I mean, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I would have to imagine that the team that leads the league in turnover margin makes the playoffs 90% plus of the time. And the Colts last year, here it is, they tied with the Cowboys in turnover margin, plus 14 on the season, and they did not make the postseason. That is hard to do. They were second in the league last year in takeaways with 33, behind Dallas's 34. By the way, Washington was at 19, so that was 32, 31, 30. Tied for 25th in the league in takeaways. you know, there really isn't, right? As football fans, is there a number that is more revealing of the kind of season a team had than turnover margin? Seriously, year in and year out. I think turnover margin and then third down percentages, both sides. Stop third down, make third down. Those three numbers, you look at those three numbers, turnover margin, really number one, you're going to have a pretty good sense of who made the postseason and who didn't. Who had a good year and who didn't. You know, Dallas didn't make the Super Bowl, right? The two teams in the Super Bowl last year, Cincinnati's overall turnover margin last year was dead even. The Rams were plus two. All right, so the teams they played in the championship games, the 49ers were minus four. So maybe I'm about to prove myself wrong here. But more times than not, I think we all understand. Positive turnover margin, really good chance of having a good season. Indianapolis was tied for the number one turnover margin in the league last year and missed the postseason. Now, with respect to the Jackson and before that, or the Fuller and before that Jackson comments, I thought about, you know, coverage. I thought about DBs. And I do like Fuller. And I like St. Juice. I like their safeties a little bit. I don't know how much I like Jackson yet. I think it's still odd that Cincinnati put up zero fight to keep him. But that's beside the point. And they went to the Super Bowl, by the way, last year. Montez Sweat, in terms of top-end ability to impact a game, of the players that we know are going to be on the field as we speak today, because Chase Young won't be, he's the one. Like, he's the one that could literally, by himself, deflect a couple of balls, have a couple of big hurries or sacks or sack fumbles that change games. Let's get one more in here. Let's get Robert. Robert wants to weigh in from Annapolis. Robert, go ahead.
All right, Kevin, sometimes we actually do agree. You had a segment a couple weeks ago. I think you used the term X factor, and I called in on Antonio Gibson. And I actually have higher expectations. I think he could turn into what Jonathan Taylor was for the Colts last year. I think he's got all the ability, both as a runner in terms of his size and speed, not so much his vision, as you say, but also as a receiver. And if Wentz is being successful, that means the offensive line is being successful, and that means the receivers are being successful. So once you have that in place, that opens it up for the running. And that comes into play in the later parts of the season, particularly in the playoffs. There's nothing more frustrating for a defense when the other team can pound the ball down their throats. So I see him as the key player on the team. Now, if I can drop one other name, not necessarily having a superstar season, but Cole Holcomb is a key because there's a lot of questions on defense, particularly at the linebacker spot. If they're going to go with him in that Mike position, I think he really has to come through in that. And in closing, I think you're going to be disappointed in the end on Montez Sweat. I don't think he's ever going to become the player, at least with this team, that you thought he would be. But Antonio Gibson.
On Holcomb, thanks for the call as always, Robert. I think, you know, there's clearly, they're playing, I've mentioned this before, they're playing a schedule with a lot of run-first teams, a lot of really good rush offensive teams from last year, and more likely than not, things aren't going to change this year. We'll see what happens in San Francisco with the new quarterback, but they're going to try to run the football. Okay, they got Philadelphia, they got Tennessee, you know, they've got big time rush offensive teams. I'm forgetting some of the others. I had the list in front of me recently, but you've got the Eagles twice, you've got the Titans, you've got the Colts with Jonathan Taylor, you got the Vikings with Dalvin Cook, you've got the 49ers, you got the Browns, you've got some of the best rush offenses in the league. And so from that standpoint, it's going to be really important that that front seven, whomever is in that front seven, play well. And Holcomb, we know, is going to be a part of that. So I hear where you're coming on Holcomb. But if I were to say to you that a 10-plus win season is predicated on, you know, a decent linebacker having a great season, I think that's almost putting too much of a premium on that position, and it's just not as much anymore. Now, I want great football players on the field, and I focused on the potential great football players. Gibson's got a chance to be a star. I think Sweat's got a chance to be a star. Maybe Holcomb does too, and maybe Holcomb turns into, or Jamin Davis, somebody mentioned earlier, they turn into star players this year, and their presence and their impact ends up being significant towards a double-digit win season. But Gibson, for me, after Wentz, really is the guy. Like, I could see him very much turning into, you know, a Mixon or a Chubb. I don't want to say Derrick Henry. I think he's in a class by himself when he's healthy. But, you know, at 6'2", 230 with sub-4.4 speed and really good power and strength, there are some similarities. But Henry just plays bigger and stronger. I'm not gonna make that leap. But Najee Harris, as an example, finished fourth last year in total, all-purpose yardage. Part of that was because they checked down so much throwing the football. But I think Gibson could have a big all-purpose yardage season. And I think if he does, Washington's a threat to win 10-plus games as long as the quarterback's good. Scott Abraham from Channel 7 next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.